meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on December 13, 2010. May we please have the roll call?
Mr. Dinkoff?
Present.
Ms. Gregory?
Here.
Ms. Krusty?
Here.
Ms. Hofig?
Here.
Mr. Kaplan? Ms. Levin?
Here.
Mr. Shadle?
Here.
Mr. Scheibel?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
We have a quorum and may proceed.
I'd like to ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to make a couple comments before we get into the heart of the meeting, the meat and potatoes of the meeting. First of all, on behalf of the entire Board of Education, I'd like to wish everyone in the audience a Happy New Year. And just to let everyone know, including all board members, how happy I am to see such a large turnout this evening for this meeting. Thank you very much. And again, Happy New Year on behalf of the entire board. An item for members of the Board of Education. I received in the mail today something called School Board Notes, which is a weekly publication of the New Jersey School Boards. Some of you might be receiving this on your computer through email. Others, like me, get a hard copy sent to their home. If this isn't something that you're currently receiving, please let Pat know, because it does contain a lot of very helpful information for us as school board members. One email I received this afternoon was in reference to a legislative meeting that will be held next month. I believe a notice is being sent out to all board members, but there will be a legislative meeting for all school board members in Hunterdon County and Warren County. And one of the reasons I'm mentioning it is because that meeting will be held here at Clinton Township Middle School. And I know we will have at least one state senator here and two state assemblymen. I did have an opportunity to run into Assemblyman Peterson last week at the swearing-in ceremony of our council, two new council members, and he indicated to me that he would be attending the legislative meeting, which will be a Thursday evening, I believe, February 10th, here at Clinton Township Middle School. Also, in the back of the auditorium, we have forms available, voter registration forms, if you're not registered. And we think it's extremely important, if you are eligible to vote, that you do, in fact, register. In addition to the registration, voter registration forms, we also have what's called vote-by-mail forms. It used to be referred to as absentee ballots. So if you would prefer voting that way, you may do so. But there is a form which has to be submitted to the county. One last item before we get into the agenda and the items that are contained on the agenda. At the December Board of Education meeting, I spoke briefly about the incident that happened in Florida with the school board. Unfortunately, we had another, probably more serious incident that happened over the weekend down in Arizona. Very, very unfortunate. I think it's an opportunity for all of us to take some time out and to think. Think about some of the things that are going on in our country, in the greatest country this world has ever known, the United States of America. And maybe just reflect upon how we treat other people, You know, are we as kind and nice to others? Are we as giving as we should be? Are we as tolerant maybe for some other people? I don't know if any of that kind of thing would have helped. I don't believe it's my position to ask you to pray for anyone, but I would ask you to think about the members of the family of those individuals who lost their lives and also those individuals who are still in very serious condition. I think it's a reflection on all of us as a society, and if there's anything we can do as parents, as educators, as teachers, as school administrators, I think we have a responsibility to try to help our fellow man as much as we possibly can. But just give it some thought. Finally, to the items on the agenda, we currently have 5 items, going from solar energy to the possibility of consolidating one of our schools. The format for this evening, as best as can be followed, will be this. As we come upon each item, we will give members of the community, members of the public, an opportunity to speak. We would ask if you could to possibly keep your comments to about 3 minutes. With each particular item, there will be a presentation either by the superintendent or by one consultant that we've asked to join us this evening. The board will have an opportunity to discuss each of the items, and we're going to do that in open session. And then after the board has had an opportunity to speak, we will recognize the public again. With some of these items, we might want to bring them to resolution this evening. When this particular meeting was advertised, it was advertised with the possibility that formal action might be taken on any one of the particular items. So again, there's nothing mandating us to come to resolution or to have a motion on each particular item, but if that's something that the board deems is appropriate, then we, in fact, will do that. Before I turn the meeting over to the superintendent, there is one other item that I forgot to mention, and I would like to bring up at this time. Tomorrow morning at 7:30, the Facilities and Finance Committee of the Board of Education will be meeting with, I believe, Mayor Semay, the Township Business Administrator, as well as the Township Liaison to the Board of Education to discuss items on the budget. I'm going to suggest that one of the items brought up to the mayor is the possibility of having the school auditor present the audit to the mayor and the township council. If you were here for our December Board of Education meeting, the individual charged with the responsibility of auditing our books gave a report to the Board of Education. It was not a glowing, favorable report in terms of a lot of surplus money. I think it's to our benefit and the benefit of the children in Clinton Township that we be as open and transparent as possible with the Township Council. I would hope that if they realize what position we're in terms of our school budget, that even before the vote in April, that the mayor and the council would come out and publicly support the school budget. And I think by having our auditor present at a public meeting to the mayor and to the entire council, it might go a long way in helping them understand some of the difficulties we have in formulating a budget and going year to year with our budget not passing. I would also suggest, since the Township Council has hired their own auditor, that individual be invited to such a meeting. So I would ask Mr. Kaplan, as chair of the Facilities and Finance Committee, if that be an item that he bring up tomorrow morning with the Township Council. With that, I will turn the remainder of the meeting over to our superintendent, Mr. Carroll.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jacob. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out. This is a kind of a precedent for our board in looking to create such an atmosphere of discussion. That's why we kind of labored over exactly how we want to make sure people have a chance to have comments prior to a presentation, prior to a board discussion, and we can possibly follow up now with comments with some questions that we should look at before we either resolve to take action tonight or need more information as we continue. If you don't mind, of course, with the season, I've already got my throat tickled, so I'm either going to be coughing or drinking some of the water as we go. I'd like to start with introducing Kevin Santabrino, from BSANA, who is our board architect, who will be speaking on the topic of solar energy. Kevin has been working with the Finance and Facilities Committee regarding possible options for the board. We will talk about design, bid, build, and purchase power agreement, and I will get you set up.
You don't have to. This is okay. That means we don't have it all. It's up to you.
This evening, what I will do for members of the audience and members of the board is I will run through a first blush with regard to where some solar energy may be located. If I say where and may, stressing those words, on each of the three schools that we looked at. Questions have come up with regard to the structuring of a power purchase agreement. What I'd like to do first is run through where potential solar energy may be located in three types. One is roof-mounted solar energy, which is exactly that, which would go on the roofs of the schools. The second is canopy mount, which you'll begin to see over some of the parking areas. The third is some ground mount, which are very low canopy mounts. I'm going to point out each one of these prospective areas that the board may choose to select for a solar area, and I'm going to do this for each of the three schools, and then I'll go into some of the savings next. This is the middle school. Site plan of it. On the upper portion of the screen, you'll see some of the areas darkened with regard to the parking. Those are some of the potential areas for solar canopies over the parking spaces. And in the parking area, which most of you are right now, you'll see again some areas for some solar canopies. We're going to move into some 3D so you see this a little bit better. Once again, upper right portion of the screen, you'll see some of those solar canopies. They're about 8 or 9 feet tall. They sit over the parking area, over the parking stalls. Same things with the one to the lower left-hand side of the screen. And again, this is the first blush and where some of the solar may be located. For the Round Valley School, again, you have parking areas as well, and you have a rooftop solar array. You start to see where some of the canopies may be located over the parking areas. In the upper left-hand corner of the screen, you'll see a ground mount. It's only about a foot and a half from the ground. It does. It is southern facing, and it does follow the slope of the grade. Potentially, you can see some canopies over areas for bleachers for sporting events. A little bit different view of the ground now. Onto Spruce Run. Once again, this is the aerial view. We look at solar on the roof as one option. Next option, you can start to see where the canopies would be in the parking lot. little bit better view, a little bit more perspective of those canopies. Once again, over all the over the parking areas. Potentially a canopy over the drop-off area. Again, solar as well. Just another quick view of that. This is what some of the canopies will begin to look like. We did take some shots under construction from another district. You'll start to see that the installation of these canopies is very non-intrusive with regard to all the parking lots. That should do it. Now, that gives the board and the members of the public just some general ideas of where some of these solar canopies may go in addition to the rooftop areas. So, the next question may be, okay, how much money are we going to possibly save from solar energy? Now, what we've described here is something called a power purchase agreement, essentially, which means that there would be the Board of Education would go out to an RFP in accordance with the school public contracts law and request bids from power purchase agreement companies, which is a third-party entity. That entity would then come in and design and build all of the components that you see, and they would do it at their expense with no capital outlay from the district. Now, right now, the district is paying approximately 16 cents per kilowatt hour for energy. The end result, we expect the end result of the RFPs to have the board paying approximately 89 cents per kilowatt hour for energy, for about 80% of the energy for each one of your schools. All the canopies that you're seeing actually far exceed the energy that you're using at most of the schools. But we would design the system such that it would only account for about 80% of the energy. Now, why is that? Because all of the energy that gets produced by the power purchase agreement company, you are required to buy. So we want to make certain that you'll be producing less energy than you need. Are you never in a scenario where you're buying more than you need? Now, what is the end result of this? The board is spending approximately just north of $400,000 annually in energy costs, about $430,000 annually. The power purchase agreement company, in accordance with the school public contracts law, would offer the district a 15-year contract for a potential total cash savings of approximately a range of $2 to $3 million over the course of 15 years. No capital outlay from the board. All of our fees are borne by the power purchase agreement company in order to design the system. Hopefully that gives the public and the board a quick synopsis of power purchase agreement scenario, essentially where some of the solar canopies may be located and some of the benefits to the board.
Thank you, Kevin. I want to apologize to the community. Actually, it would be helpful if I write off my own notes. You were supposed to comment prior to that, but actually it helps with Kevin giving us the information. I saw you giving the nod, Jim. So with that, I would call the public for the first public comment. If I come up, and then the board can discuss, and then we'll have a follow-up.
Just on solar energy.
So if there's anyone, to make it easier, you all just turn this microphone. There's another one over there. Is that aisle?
Rachel McLaughlin, 2 Squires Lane. I noticed that you mentioned that, and then I watched the presentation. I was curious as to why you didn't put passion here and up there at all, even to consider it solar energy. What was the part of the presentation?
I'm going to have to defer to Kevin. I can only guess that it's very shady up there, given the low land of my eye. And we have fields up there that potentially being used by a rector over here. So are you doing that? As you saw, he didn't put anything on the roof, so that was kind of what I asked him to look at. There's just one option. Like, we could do it at the field or the roof.
Yeah, I'm curious to know because I know that's the component of the literature being put out there, homeowners to put it on your roof, so it's crazy with differences.
Personally, I'm not a big fan only because of the intrusion of the roof itself. So Kevin came up with one potential looking at, which is great for us, because of the bus run, putting that out, the walkway in the front.
And I also was curious how safe it was for the crew.
Let me answer the couple of questions. Number one, we did intend on placing roof mount panels on all the three schools that we did. I understand. We did show only three. I know there are four schools in the district, but there would be solar panels on the three schools that we indicated in the presentation. Just to give you an idea of the power. Approximately 200 kilowatts at Spruce One, Spruce Run, 350 at Round Valley, and 250 on the roof at the middle school. Those are our anticipated nets. Now, with regard to any penetrations on the roof, the solar panels and support systems are non-penetrating, so they do not penetrate the roof system.
Kevin, can you speak to Patrick Garrett and what you found when you looked at that area? Why it was not in this first presentation?
We did find that the amount of area and the potential at the final fourth school was not, the district wouldn't get the return that you need on a per school basis. So one of the things that we need to do is look at each of the schools to maximize the return for the district. The safety with regard to the canopies, the solar canopies are designed by my office and instructional engineer, so they're approved for uplift mostly. They have a very minimal point load to them, but they're quite safe, and again, they're signed and sealed by structural engineer. Yes. We're doing this. We're architects for multiple districts and municipalities and counties throughout New Jersey, and we're doing this at least four other municipalities in this country. Thank you.
So if the power purchase agreement company doesn't maintain the system to the highest highest and best use and keep it the cleanest, they lose money, not the Board of Education. So it is in their interest to maintain the system for the highest and best use as they can.
Hi, my name is Nicole Mosello, 33 Cedar Grove Road, Orlando. Question regarding the companies that you are considering for contract. Had bids already been started for this? And two, I noticed that there was no talk about the sheeting on the roofs versus panels. I know flat rooftop is very common to have a lot of sheets of solar panels. Is that consideration? And if not, is there a reason for that?
The first part is actually to the board, whether or not they would take action on working with Sabrina's company designing the RFP and moving forward with this. The second part, I don't know that you discussed it.
First part for your
The second part with regard to the panels, the most effective panels now are about 245 watts per panel. They are hard panels and they're not film. As you may have seen, film is much less effective. So the panels will be hard panels. They're non-penetrating on the roof. And they do go, they all face out. They do go to a 10-degree tilt for maximum efficiency and effectiveness. That answer your question? Okay, but the hard panels are more effective and efficient.
What's before the board this evening, what they'll be discussing is, again, looking to work with Kevin in designing the RFP for us, and that will decide, some winning that RFP, who will be working with us in this power purchase agreement. Anyone else?
Yeah, hi, Richard Hollibaugh, I'm on the Eastern Road. I was wondering if anybody considered purchasing the PV system outright as compared to doing the power purchase agreement and how that financially would work the two compared to each other. Because comments I've heard from some people, installers and other people in the business, I have to do some alternative energy work, but I'm not an installer. The comments I've heard is if you get this cool contract, you're good for life. It's a lot of money to be made. And so I would say that get some competitive bids and look at other alternatives besides the power purchase agreement.
Thank you. That's where I had made the mention of design, bid, build is another way. Kevin had already done a presentation to the Finance and Facilities Committee. Design, bid, build would be just that. We would engage Kevin to design something for us. We would go out to bond referendum to the community to pass that so we would get the capital to be able to build that. Looking for the possibility of savings through federal or state grants if they're available, as well as paying yourselves back. But ultimately, that burden goes back to the taxpayers in the way of another bond for them to be paid off. Kevin's company? Before I turn it over to the board, one more. It could be another discussion by the board right now as far as design and build. Yes, Suzanne.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Gentilmer. I'm a librarian here at the middle school. Just a couple of comments or questions. I live down in Lambertville, and they're doing this very thing, but the town of Lambertville is trying to collaborate with the area schools to get an even larger purchase agreement. And I'm wondering if we were thinking of taking the initiative to do that and maybe collaborate with the town council or other schools in the area, if that was an option. And the other thing that I'm concerned about is the aesthetics. I know solar can be aesthetically unpleasing, and the canopies look like they may sort of start to encase the schools, and so from the entry point from the the driveway, I wonder if the first thing you're going to see is this black casing around the wheels.
Well, as stated, you know, Kevin just showed one potential that was on there. And one of the things he did show at the Finance Facility Committee that I truly like is the sort of tree. It was an idea that it was pleasing. And as well, if anyone's been out on the Spruce Run parking lot, always park all the way to the back because that's where the view is. So you're absolutely right, Susan. The other part of it is actual discussion. Mr. Joss and I have had. Martin Joss is the Township Administrator. And hopefully it'll be a discussion for tomorrow.
Hi, Tammy Timms, Belvedere Avenue. I have a couple of questions. My first question is, do the panels have to be within a certain distance of the building in order to be effective?
The only restriction with regard to the solar is that they need to be on the same site that the meter, that the electric meter is. That's it. There's no other distance limit.
Okay, because my question about that is, instead of putting the panels like on as close to the building as this, specifically say it's Spruce Run and it's CTMS, we have the property across the road, across Gray Rocks that we own, and we also have the field that's in between the two properties that the, I guess was supposed to be a soccer field, but it really isn't now. They use it for gym. Why couldn't we put the panels there? Then it wouldn't be in the way of the feet, in the way of the parking lot. Because the other thing I think about with the parking lot, I don't know if a lot of people know, is that's also a landing for medevacs, which you wouldn't be able to do that anymore.
There's current legislation right now that limits solar panel installation to the properties where the meter is located. So if the property, if there's a separate piece of property that does not have another meter, the public entity cannot use the energy from that separate piece of property and kind of send it back to the other locations across the road and things of that nature. So there are two separate pieces of property. In order for that to work, there would have to be a separate meter.
Okay, but the property that's up here behind the school, is that considered separate? I mean, it's smack in the middle of the two schools.
As long as I know two schools have contiguous properties, okay? So as long as it's on one or the other, and it's attributable to one meter or the other, it can be anywhere on the property, okay? It's a non-issue. As long as that power goes back to that meter on that property, as long as the board owns the property.
So does the school board understand which piece of property I'm talking about? This is property up here that's not really usable for anything? Couldn't the panels be placed there for Spruce Run?
And the answer is absolutely. One thing this is what's important is that this is a very, very first blush.
No, I understand that.
Where things can go. And we certainly look for everyone's input, and we would sit down with the board and some providers to see where the best scenarios would be. Yes, if it's the board's intent to try and move it as far away from the school as possible, then we would make certain that that happens and put that as a requirement. In the RFP, but yes, it is certainly.
Because I just think that's some of the parents' concern with it being in the parking lot. And that's, you know, with the other piece of property over on the other side of Gray Rock, you're saying that that's not considered part of this property?
I'm saying that.
I'm just wondering.
I'm saying that the current legislation says that if it's a piece of property, even though you own it, and it doesn't have an electric meter on it, you're not permitted to utilize that energy generated there onto another piece of property. So there's no way for you to do any kind of reverse subdivision over a highway or a road, simply because it's not contiguous. Now there's legislation to flip to modify that, however, the utility companies seem to be resisting that.
All right, just wondering. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kevin Chapman, 25 John Drive, Andale. Never answered the question about the maintenance. Whether it would be covered. And you can write any RFP you want that will cover that warranty time frame and anything you want. Is that going to be yes or no covered in the...
Maintenance will absolutely be covered. One thing to keep in mind is that the district will not, under a power purchase agreement scenario, the district will not own the system. Okay? So the power purchase agreement company will be required to maintain the system throughout the life of the system. Their incentive is very simply this. If they don't maintain the system, their profit goes down and they may wind up owing the
what's going to happen to the solar panels? Are they going to be removed?
That's a great question. The board, at the end of the 15-year lease, the board would have three options. They would have the ability to tell the power purchase agreement company, "Let's take it off. We don't want it anymore." Or B, we'd like to renegotiate potentially a new up to 15-year lease in accordance with school public contracts law with you at a new rate. Or C, the board can opt to purchase the system at a price per watt from the power purchase agreement company. So there are three options at the end of that lease.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Weiss, 17. I don't go to the school or this township, but I have a quick question about solar panels. Where are they potentially being placed, first off?
As it was shown here, Kevin was showing us some places. Right now they're showing that they're over our parking lot and some of our open area land around the buildings.
Have you ever thought of putting them on the roof of the school?
That was one thing that did come up. The idea would be that to cut down on penetration on any of the roofs, this would be kind of a self-contained system. So it would not be on the roof.
All right. Well, if you were to put on the roof, you'd get rid of that problem with the metadata. When you go to the parking lot, although it would put more holes in the roof, you could still put like some sort of resin or something to cover up any holes. It'd probably save the roof over a period of time if the solar panels would mostly be covering it.
Well, one of the things you would do is to ensure that the life of the roof, that would come out in the request for a proposal, that any vendor coming in would have to show us that they were going to not only maintain, but maybe even upgrade the roof as part of that RFP. Thank you.
My name is Frank Elizison. I reside at 39 Mutual Road, Annandale, New Jersey. This is a question about the past. 2005.
Frank, can you speak into the mic, please? More into the mic. Thank you.
In 2005, we got approval from the Board of Public Utilities to install a solar panel system. There was a proviso that the store would follow of finishing our work, purchasing the permit in 180 days, and not installing it in 1 year. I didn't have a mention of that meeting, but I think the first one we went to had several months of illness. And Mr. Marin said that there was, Tom Marin said there was some complications. If we didn't do this, that we would have problems in the future. Do you know anything about this at all? I can't tell you more than just what I just said. In recollection, I don't think any member of the board was on the board at that time either. Donna, you weren't on board.
I was, but I don't recall it.
Huh?
I was, but I don't recall it.
Okay. I went to the website and I found the resolution which was passed on the 27th of June, 2005. You're convinced that there was no problem?
No, I'm not convinced of anything. I recall.
Huh?
I don't recall.
Frank, we can look into that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Can you make a note of that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Frank, let me ask you the date again, please.
Your date.
What?
Your date.
June 27th
of June 2005, and the resolution is 05536. It's on pages 3 and 4 of the approved minutes.
One more comment. There are PV mounts with flat roofs that don't require penetrations. So, you use sandbags, this way they're held down. So you don't need to worry about penetrations. And it is cheaper to put on a roof than it is on the ground. So, when you guys look at bids, look at renewable energy credits, and any state rebates that you get, typically PV systems can be paid off from these two sources in about 4 years. So, it's a pretty short time. So if you put up a bond, you pay for it publicly, get your money back in the foot.
Thank you. Okay, not seeing anyone else coming down to the mic, I'll open up to the board president to facilitate a discussion with the board.
Thank you, Mr. Cowan. Do we have any comments from any board members, any questions or comments? Grace, we'll start with you.
I guess this is a question for Kevin. I guess we've been talking, this discussion kind of seems like it's a foregone conclusion that this is a PPA and not a design build. If you set aside the issue of a bond referendum, which might be difficult for this district to pass, so if you put that aside, is it in the best interest of the district long term to own the system or to not own the system?
I would agree with the gentleman who just spoke. I was part of this in the former district, and with the federal grant that was obtained, it was going to be cash positive for the district at the time in 3 years. But without that, as the gentleman stated, about 4. Meaning that it starts to pay for itself, pays for the bond referendum, and so on. It really comes down to whether or not the board feels in going forward, it hangs on whether or not the bond referendum could be passed. I would advise no, that it cannot be passed. And a purchase power agreement is the better way to go.
At the end of 2009, BPU changed the maximum rebate for public entities from approximately $3 to $4 a watt to a maximum of $1 a watt, or a maximum of $50,000 for 50 kW system maximum. Most public entities will look to build a system that's in excess of 50 kW. So if we were to apply to the BPU for a system, you'd only get $50,000 as a rebate, which is on the back end. Prior to 2009, some of my districts prior to 2009 have received rebates in excess of $250,000. And that was because they applied prior to 2009 and received their approvals. That ship has sailed. So that's not going back. However, with regard to the design bid build scenario, I don't want to quote you any payback periods, but there, when you do a design bid build scenario, in addition to having to pay off the system through the traditional debt service model, you are eligible for debt service aid from the Department of Education. This year it's anticipated at approximately 32%, next year about 40%. In addition to that, your other revenue source is a simple avoided cost of energy. Your third revenue source is an SREC or solar renewable energy credit sale. Though the value of the SRECs are based on the alternative compliance payments as set by the state of New Jersey BPU. But as far as quoting whether one's better than the other, without doing analysis, that would be very difficult for me to do.
Any other questions, Grace?
I'm sure I'll have another one at some point.
Anyone else, Kevin?
Kevin. Well, Kevin's in the room tonight. With regard to the roof mount, I thought in the earlier discussion we had that one of the main considerations was the age of the roof, not because we were mounting on it, but because of the need to access an older roof, and that the middle school would be a good candidate because it was newer, and the other schools, the roof were more dated, they were not as good candidates for roof mount system. And in your calculations, do we need the roof mount in addition to the ground mount systems to meet the goal of the kilowatts we want to generate?
Let me answer a couple of your comments and then your last question. The answer to your comments is you are exactly correct. What we're trying to do is the panels generate energy in our warranty for approximately 25 years. We try to pair the life of the panel with the remaining life of the typically built up. Can range in with 20 to 25 year warranties. Typically, we would not recommend a solar panel installation on a rooftop if the roof is any older than 5 years old, and if it is not a multiply built up roof with a 20 to 25 year warranty. So your comments are accurate with regard to that and with regard to the middle school. The last portion of it, you had mentioned
other school. We did an approximation conservatively for Spruce Run and Round Valley at 200 and 350 kW respectively. However, if we find that the roofs are in excess of 5 years old, we wouldn't recommend them being placed in there unless the district wants to replace a roof at district expense. If you ask the power purchase agreement company to replace the roof at their expense, and if they can build it into their pro forma model and still be profitable, they will do so. However, your energy savings, instead of potentially 8 cents a kilowatt hour, they will then look to charge you 9 cents a kilowatt hour. So you do get money
for
nothing. Okay, so you still wind up paying for that roof, although it's a different method to acquire. However, we don't need on the Huntington schools the amount of KW that we can generate at Spruce Run and at Round Valley are far in excess of what we would need based on 80% of the kilowatt hour used on a per school basis. So we don't need to place it on the roof. And if we don't have to, and your roof is only 5 years old, we would prefer not to.
The only reason you would do it is for aesthetics, not for financial reasons.
Yes. It is that if we can package a new roof, and we would only look to package a multiply 20 to 25 year warranty built up roof as part of the PPA, we would do so. The system has to be large enough to allow the PPA to generate a performance that will build that roof in. Because the power insurance company will not make it, they're not going to make any profit from giving you that roof. You make a profit putting in solar panels. If the system's large enough, and the system certainly would be, we're looking at approximately 1 to 1.2 to 1.3 megawatt system among three schools, you may very well get a new roof or a portion of the roof into that area. So it really depends on that.
Thank you.
John, go ahead.
I have a question. At the 15-year period, if we want to remove the panels, or if there's better technology, you want to replace them with a new panel. Basically, you want this setup out of there. How do you know that the company's still going to be around with the wherewithal to remove the panels?
The company will offer that 15-year warranty. I just went through this with my last district. We require the company to post a bond.
Okay.
To a bonding company, such that if that company's out of business, that bonding company will take over and execute all contractual agreements on behalf of that company.
Okay. And actually, a smaller follow-up question. If there's any vandalism to the panels, who covers that?
The power purchase agreement.
They're only.
They have a separate insurance policy for that system.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board members have questions?
I do. Could you tell us, you mentioned that you've worked with school districts in implementing these energy systems. Can you tell us which districts you are currently involved in or that you've completed?
The South Bend School District in Somerset County. South Bamber, we're working with the Red Bank Regional School District.
You're working within that current?
We just started with the Red Bank Regional School District. It will be a joint project between the school district and the municipality. The Salem County VOTEC, parking lot only, no roofs. That should do it at the
So the VOTEC Salem is the only place you would actually install the canopies at this point?
No, Union Beach Board of Education, we installed the canopies now.
I'm sorry, which school?
Union Beach Board of Education in Monmouth County, we're installing the canopies now. However, the companies that we're looking at to install the canopies, we can have installed canopies at William Patterson University. What we can do is give you a list and photographs of all the locations that our consultants have installed these canopies so that you can see for yourself or you can go take a look at it, whatever you prefer.
I guess I thought that's what we were going to be getting here tonight, was the information that we would need to make a decision. The PPA versus the design build. I didn't realize we were actually going to I mean, I thought we were going to get a lot more information here tonight rather than just like a 5-minute overview of it. So I guess I'm wrong.
Well, I guess the information you're looking for was a comparison with regard to the power purchase agreement. The comparison can be done, but as the superintendent mentioned, the design bid bill will require public referendum for the funds. The power purchase agreement method does not require any capital outlay by the Board of Education, including any design features. What I did this evening is try to generate a little charrette for the three schools that we looked at, in addition to what the potential savings to the district would be without any capital outlay. So, but I did not generate a line-by-line comparison for the different avenues.
Jody had a question.
Well, what's preventing us from getting it? I would like to see that comparison. I mean, if it's financially responsible to go out and get the bid, if that's the better deal for our school district, we ought to be looking at it.
We'd be more than happy to do the comparison for you. We can reach out to your bond council, and they can run that for you. We've done a good amount of labor at this point with regard to kilowatt hours used per school and what you would need KW on a personal basis. It's really a matter of bond council running a scenario to find your savings. If you're going to find savings, or you're going to find a payback. But the bond council can certainly run that for you. I can work with them.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm getting the impression that at this point we're not taking any formal action at all. We don't have enough information to take any formal action. But that comparison is something that we would like our architect to do.
Yes.
Mark, something we would like.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Grace.
You know, for Kevin Santabrino, I missed your answer to somebody's question. The question about whether it's feasible or not to do a ground mount system on the piece of property across the street, was the answer yes or no?
When you're speaking of across the street, you're speaking of the answer is no. The short answer is no.
Because we don't have a meter over there, that was the answer?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. The current legislation only permits you to utilize energy on a per property, per meter basis. So essentially what that says is you can't put solar panels on another piece of property and bring the energy back to a different piece of property. Even though, and those properties that you mentioned are not contiguous.
Correct.
If we build the system ourselves, my understanding was we're still not allowed to sell that excess electric back to the electric company.
That's correct. If you design bid build scenario, you are not an energy company. You're not licensed as an energy company. And the best that you can do is spin the meter back to zero, and we'll not be able to spin any past.
So we're really dependent on the SRECs to make that.
When you do a design bid build the system, you create two revenue sources. Your major revenue is your SREC sale. Typically, you would do it annually, or you'd sell it to the utility company in a 7-10-year contract. The second revenue source is an avoided cost of energy. Essentially, if you do a design bid build scenario, you would set it up as a potential net zero tax impact referendum, such that your avoided cost of energy plus your SREC sale equal your debt service less your debt service.
All of that dependent on the price of the SRECs, which are traded in the public market, which we, of course, can't predict.
Well, we take
on the risk, right?
Actually, the price of SRECs are dependent upon the alternative compliance payment that's set by the state of New Jersey. Those alternative compliance payments are already set, for the most part, I believe, until the 2016 or 2022. You can look that up online. Don't take my word for it. But essentially, all the energy companies in the state of New Jersey are required to, if they don't meet a certain percentage of sustainable energy that they produce on an annual basis, they're required to buy that from a producer like yourself. Okay? Essentially, they can either pay the state of New Jersey what's called an alternative compliance payment, or they can pay you slightly less than it. That's how the SREC value is set. But SREC value, keep in mind, will always go down.
because the school takes on some risk. Essentially, there's some...
Yes, sir. As under the bill, the school will take the risk. Our purchase agreement, the school will take no risk.
Any other questions by board members? So my understanding at this point in time, we're looking for some additional information. We're not going to take any formal action on solar energy. However, maybe we can bring this up as a topic tomorrow when we meet with the representatives from the town council.
Okay. At this time, we would have this second session of comment, public comment meeting on solar only. Kevin has said he's generated any questions, comments.
Roger Strait, I'm on the support. There is an energy expert that lives in the area. He's actually on one of the New Jersey Energy Boards, Tom Kutzer. You might want to reach out to him. He knows exactly what the risks are moving forward for like the next 10, 15 years. I'm sure he could add some kind of horizon into it as to which is the best scenarios. I know Pat, you and I have gone back and forth on this in the past on solar, which is the best approach to go forward with, and I'm sure Tom would love to be part of the discussion, especially since he lives here.
Excuse me, Mr. Strait, can you spell his last name?
I know him.
I know him.
Tom,
sorry, we'll try both spellings.
Roger, can you tell us whether the North Hunter and Voorhees Board is looking into solar energy?
They already did it before I got there. They use the Honeywell service. This is a method that they're using in order to fund future development, not only to fix roofs, heating systems, and solar panels is just one of the areas that they are looking into. So we are moving forward with that. It's a shame we didn't somehow coordinate activities in the past where we could try to group it all together, even with the township, and done some kind of global entity here. But the area moved forward before we got there. The area, the bid process, the RFP, we've gone there.
Thank you. Nicole?
Yes, there's also an energy company in Annandale that is looking to do a project in Annandale at the train station. The buildings have already been purchased. It's going through the process now. I believe construction will start in the next 6 to 8 months. I don't know if you guys are able to work outside of the municipality with the local businesses. Maybe something to look into if it's already being done in the township on public buildings.
Thank you.
One thing to keep in mind is, as a public entity is in order to acquire any contractors, you're required to abide by the school public contracts. And there are very, very specific rules and regulations with regard to public entities, which is why we can do it with the Board of Education and or other public entities, but not mixed public private entities.
Zero,
or utility or energy. So that's the reason why I say you can't, the meter cannot spin